Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time to gather here. I thank you for each and every person. Lord, for the cards that were sent here, thanking us for the support, help, and the things that we did for people in time of need that they have. Lord, we ask that you just lead, guide, and direct us in our studies, our lessons, and the things that we try to learn about you and how to better serve you. Pray for Pastor John as he didn't make his trip back in. We pray for him, his family, all the Alaskan group. We thank you for their efforts, Lord, in going out and helping others. Lead, guide, and direct us now as we get into our study. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We're not going to study the Gospel of John this morning. Thursday, something happened in the United States of America that upset me so much that for half Thursday night I didn't sleep. I don't know how many of y'all know about this, but our president had a meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the leader of Israel. And this is about the second or third meeting he's had with him. Thankfully, this time he didn't treat him as ugly as he has the other times. But anyway, Mr. Netanyahu gave President Obama a lesson in history. And I was so glad to see that. How much he believes or takes of it, I don't know. But as I listened to the speech, I didn't hear all of it, I did hear part of it. It takes me back in the history of this country. And to what is happening today in our nation. And I want to issue a warning. You can call this whatever you want. I'm going to issue a warning. I'm going to be like Ezekiel and the watchman on the wall. I think it's time for Americans to wake up and they better realize where their country is headed. So as a teacher, I'm going to issue a warning. What I want to do is I want to go back and build some history on what is happening and why Thursday occurred to start with. So I want to build you some history on that. It's going to be a different lesson than we normally have, but I think it's very, very necessary that we as Americans, we as Christians, should understand what's going on in our country today. And we above all people should not be ignorant of what God has to say about these issues. So we're not getting out of the Bible. There's a thing called the peace process. It was started some years ago, about 20 years ago, and I'm going to get into that in just a little bit here. But it's called the peace process by the United States government. What it really consists of, if you want to boil it down to its brass tacks, it means this: Israel, we are telling you to give up your land for peace. This is what it means. We're the most powerful country in the world, and now we are dictating to the nation of Israel. This is not a political thing that I'm giving today. Don't take that wrong. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Joel, the third chapter. Book of Joel, the third chapter. Now, this may take a couple of Sundays, but I don't care how long it takes. I think it is necessary. In the book of Joel of the Old Testament, God wrote this through this prophet, and here's what he says in the third chapter. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Now the time setting here that Joel's talking about is the end of the tribulation period, and I understand that. Okay? It's not for right now, but it is in the tribulation period. But notice what God says in that time. I'm going to bring again the captivity of Judah, whatever the Jews are, and Jerusalem. Verse 2. I will also gather all nations. This is the great battle of Armageddon. He said, I'm going to gather all nations and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And will plead. That word plead in the Hebrew means, I'm going to judge them. All of these nations who are against my people. Yes? Joel chapter 3. Anybody else in Job? All right. Okay. Book of Joel. Thank God. And we'll bring down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and we'll plead. That word means I'm going to do battle with them. With them there for my people and for my heritage Israel. This is still beyond our time that God's talking about. So all these people that are trying to do away with the nation of Israel and thinking that God is through with Israel and these speakers, yes, they got into this replacement theology that's going around today. The church has taken the place of Israel. It's wrong. Israel is still Israel. God says here, for my heritage Israel. Even after these thousands of years, God is still sticking with His people, whom they have scattered among the nations. Notice what He says. These people that are in the valley of Jehoshaphat, these enemies of Israel, they have taken the Jews, they've scattered among the nations, and have parted my land. Now, there's a warning here. He says, any nation throughout history that takes my people and scatters them through their nations, or comes in and occupies their land, in the end time, when this is all over with, and at the final battle of Armageddon, I'm going to judge you in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, we all know that's coming. It's in the future. Up until 1948, there wasn't even a nation of Israel. Everybody laughed and scoffed at these prophecies. But people that are doing some study now are not laughing anymore. Israel's back in her land. They're there in unbelief. They're still God's old anxious people. And He will do what He says to the enemies of the nation of Israel. Now, what about our day and time right now? You're seeing more anti-Semitism rise today in the world as probably since the time of Hitler. I hate to say it's even being done in this country as well. It's a warning. Don't hurt the nation of Israel. Let me say this. The prophecy here was written about 800 B.C., 800 years before Christ. It is the ultimate promise of God for retaliation upon the enemies of Israel. Those that have taken their land, those that have taken their people and have scattered them and rebuked them. This is the land God gave to them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has never rebuked that. They are the only people on the face of this earth that have a deed to a piece of land. Nobody else has it. This so-called Palestinian state over there, Palestinians didn't even exist until after the Jews came back and everybody started hollering about the Jews had taken their land. Jews haven't taken their land. Jews have got their land that God gave them. Now, does God really mean what He says here? If you divide up the land of Israel, does He really mean that He's going to take retribution upon these nations? Is God serious? I think He is. Let's take a look at history. I'm going to give you a little history lesson right now. So just listen up. Stay with me. The Babylonians came down under King Nebuchadnezzar. They destroyed the nation of Israel, burned the temple, took the Jews into captivity. This was around 600 B.C. I'm going to give you approximate dates of this happening. The Empire of Babylon, the head of gold that Daniel saw, the greatest Gentile empire that ever had existed, where is it today? It's gone. It's history. It's laying in ruins. There's brick piles over there right now where you can go see that they think used to be the great Babylonian city over there. It's just ruins. Our GI's over there now. It's history today. What about Persia? They come on next on the scene. Persia comes on the scene around 500 to 300 B.C. They take over the Babylonian Empire. Where are they today? In ruins. They're gone. They're just in history books. They don't exist today as the Persian Empire. What about Greece? Now, Greece is still a nation. But what's happened to Greece? Go over there today. Their economy is in total ruins. They're riding in the streets. They're just a Alexander the Great, which was a great warrior. He conquered most of the known world. He died in his 30s. He's gone. The great empire of Greece is gone. It's over there today. Like I say, it's still a nation, but it's in ruins. It's broke. What about Rome? All that's left of Rome, the great mighty power of Rome, which existed up to around 300-400 A.D., and it was in existence before the time of Christ. What about the great empire of Rome that covered most of the known world for hundreds of years? It's in ruins over there today. The Italian government, they can't get along with each other. Their economy, they're in ruins as well. They're broke. They're no power today. What about the Byzantine Empire that came along? Byzantines came along around 400 to 600 A.D. What about the Byzantine Empire that came after Rome? It's history. You can read about it in the history books. It doesn't even exist today. It's gone. What about the Muslims? Well, if they're not fighting Jews, they're fighting each other. They're in chaos over there today. Almost every Arab nation is in uproar, fighting in the streets, fighting their governments, killing each other. That's the Muslim Empire. Does it still exist? The Muslims still exist. That's right. As a group, they're really not a religious group, in spite of what they try to tell you, in spite of what our government tries to tell you. They are a political movement that uses religion. Okay? That's what they really are. They still exist today. What will happen to them in the future? They'll be destroyed, just like the rest of them, because they hate the Jews. They persecute them at every wing. Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay, what's the difference between the Muslim and the Brotherhood of Muslims? The Brotherhood of Muslims is a group within inside the Muslim religion, as they call it, or political movement, that are attempting to solidify and get control of the political realm of the nations, like Egypt. That's the Brotherhood, they call it. They're really a political movement inside the Muslim group. And they're trying to get control of the governments over there. Their main thrust right now is to get control of the Egyptian government, in spite of what you're hearing. The military took over after they kicked out Mubarak. They put him under house arrest. The military leaders are losing their grip, and the Muslim Brotherhood is gaining control, really. And they're very anti-Semitic. So watch them. They're becoming... What about the Crusades? Came around in about 1000 A.D. to almost 1300 A.D. Where are the Crusaders today? They're all buried in a tomb somewhere. You can go over in Europe. I've seen a lot of them. All these great mausoleums and tombs they built to the Crusaders. By the way, the Crusaders, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody thinks that they're just a wonderful, holy group of guys. They weren't. They massacred Jews by the thousands. They wiped out villages of Jews. The Crusades were actually paid for by Jewish money. They went in and wiped out whole villages. The Pope blessed them. One of the things that the Pope of Rome told him was, as you go to Jerusalem to retake Jerusalem, kill a Jew on the way, you'll get a blessing. Okay? Where are they today? Their history. How many of you have ever heard of the Mamelukes? Anybody in here ever heard of the Mamelukes? They don't teach them in history. They're gone. What they really were, they came around the scene on about 1300 to 1500 A.D., They were a group of slaves who really came out of Turkey. They worked at, we would call them mercenaries, military mercenaries. They worked for any government that would pay them. They became very powerful. Actually, at one time, they ruled Egypt. But you don't ever hear anything about them. Their history, they hated the Jews. They ruled their land. They persecuted the Jews. They're gone. Their history. I mean, they don't even put them in our history books. And believe me, they were quite a powerful group of people. But you'd never anything about the Mamelukes. What about the Ottoman Turks? Now we're getting up close to modern day times. What about the Ottoman Turks? They came on scene about 1500, and they were powerful and ruled most of the Middle East, including Israel, up until 1917, the end of the First World War. At the end of the First World War, the Ottoman Turkish Empire was destroyed. In World War I. And the British were given what you call today Palestine at the end of World War I to control. That was given to Britain, all that area, Saudi Arabia, all the little countries in there, Israel. What about Great Britain? We all know a lot about Great Britain. Great Britain, at one time, was the number one power nation of the world. I mean, the old saying was, the sun never sets on the British Empire. I think it sets just in a few minutes on it, man. It's gone. It's history. Britain is broke. They're financially busted over there right now. You'll see other people leave. I lived over there. They're just a shadow of what they used to be. They're gone. They hated the Jews. They at one time expelled every Jew from the nation of Britain. All of the land. Couldn't even live there. They took, confiscated all of their wealth, all of their goods, their land, and kicked them off of the island. So look where Britain is today. Okay, they're a shadow of what they used to be. They really had no power. We could add Germany. Germany never occupied Israel. Never tried to part the land. Just tried to wipe out the whole Jewish nation. I mean, they killed 6 million of them in a dedicated, designed effort to wipe out all Jews on the face of this earth. And they're not the only ones that's tried this. Spain. Spain's not listed here, but I'm going to tell you about Spain. Spain, during the Inquisition, persecuted Jews. If a Jew would not become a Christian, make a confession of faith to the Catholic Church, they were executed. They confiscated all their wealth and ran them out of Spain. If you were a Jew, you could not live in Spain unless you made a commitment to the Catholic Church. They killed them. Killed them by the thousands in Spain. They're not listed. I could go on and on and on, nation after nation after nation, that has persecuted the Jewish people and have occupied their land or divided their land up. I mean, the list is enormous. The United States of America has been the most friendly nation to Israel than any nation in the world. But even we, after World War II, turned away boatloads of Jews trying to get to this country out of the concentration camps. We turned them away. The British, show you what they did, when the ships from Europe were trying to get these people back into their land in Israel, the British would take their boatloads of Jews that just got out of concentration camps now. Think about what they went through. And put them in prisons on the island of Cyprus. Or if they could make it to the Israeli coast, the first thing they did was march them down barbed wire and put them in prisons in the nation of Israel, their own country. There's a book put out by a man by the name of Zip. He went through all of this. He went through the concentration camps as a child, survived the war somehow, miraculously, went through the British concentration camps that they put him in, and then finally made it to Israel. And his story is incredible. If you ever want to read a book that will let you know how Israel got where it is today, get this book, Zib, I believe his name. He's still living today. He's a Christian, and he's over there now evangelizing the Jews. With his record, they listen to him. I mean, he's an incredible individual. What he's been through, nothing but the grace of God has saved his life. I mean, it's just, if you really want something interesting to read, get his book. I believe it's spelled Z-I-V. Anyway, each one of these nations that I just read off to you have persecuted the Jews in some way through history. And now you see what's happened to them. Where are we today? What about the current situation we're in today here in America? We all live here. This is our country. Many of us in here served in the military forces. We've combated our enemies. We're proud of our nation. For ones of you that didn't, certainly supported your troops, I know that. But what about today? What about our nation today? I'm going to read you some things, and I want you to stick with me, okay? Currently, the USA has taken the lead among the nations in forcing Israel to give up land for peace. We are now the leading nation of the world that is pressing the nation of Israel to give up their land so they can have peace. All right? This policy started in 1991 in the U.S. It was started by our U.S. State Department, and it was drafted, and it was called the Madrid Peace Conference. Can you all remember that when it happened? I did. The Madrid Peace Conference. That's when it started. It was designed, the whole thing was designed to force Israel to give up land conciliatory to the Palestinians for peace. Now that's what it was designed to do. Has it worked? Let's take a look. Now, what I'm about to read to you, stay with me. I'm going to read this to you. It's a lot of reading, but it's important. Now, what this shows, since we instituted this Madrid conference to make Israel, to force them to give up land for peace, here are the things that have happened in the United States. I'm going to give you dates and details. Now, listen to this closely. It covers a number of administrations. This is not politically orientated, so listen up. On October the 30th, 1991, President George Bush opened up the Madrid conference with the initiative for the Middle East peace plan involving Israel's land. This was the center focus of this peace conference. On the same day that he did this, an extremely rare storm forms off the coast of Nova Scotia. It was eventually tagged the Perfect Storm. Many of you remember that. There was also a book and a movie made about this. It had record-setting 100-foot waves at sea, pounded the New England coast, and even destroyed some of President Bush's Kennebunkport home. Now, this was the day that he met and initiated this conference. The very day. Okay? Now, you take this and you say, well, that's just coincidence. All right? I'm going to leave it to y'all. You make your own opinions as to whether this is just coincidence or not. All right? I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. You form your own opinions. Then, a year later, on August the 23rd, 1992, the Madrid conference again now, it moves to Washington, D.C., and the peace talks resume. It lasted 4 days. On the very same day that it started, Hurricane Andrew, how many of you remember Hurricane Andrew? I do. The worst natural disaster ever to hit America at that time, produces an estimated $30 billion in damages and leaves 180,000 people homeless in Florida on the day that they opened this Madrid conference again for the second time. Coincidence? I don't know. January 16, 1994. A couple years later, President Clinton, got a new president now, new administration, meets with Syrian President Hafez al-Assad in Geneva. I don't know how many of y'all know about Hafez al-Assad, but he was one of the most brutal dictators of modern time. He massacred thousands of his people. His son today is the one that is ruling Syria today. That's his boy. He trained him well, just like his dad. They talk about a peace agreement with Israel that includes giving up the Golan Heights. Now, I don't think y'all know about the Golan Heights, but it's the most strategic point in the nation of Israel for its defense. It overlooks northern Israel. And if you get control of that, the Israelis finally got control of it in 1967. They captured it from the Syrians. They were going to make Israel give up the Golan Heights. In less than 24 hours after this discussion, a 6.9 earthquake hit Southern California called the Northridge Earthquake. I know you all know about it. You saw the pictures of the destruction of Northridge, California. It happened right then. The most destructive natural disaster hit the United States behind Hurricane Andrew at the time. Now, this all happened at the same time. Okay? Coincidence?
Yeah.
March 1st to April 1997. The combination of PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat, and I know all y'all have heard Yasser Arafat's name. He was another brutal leader of the Palestinians, murdered many, many people. He came to tour the United States of America. I remember that well, because I couldn't believe we would let this character even land on our soil. But we let him in. He was going to tour America, and Clinton was rebuking Israel for not giving away her land for peace to coincide with some of the worst tornadoes, floodings in U.S. history. Now, this is when Arafat landed. This started on the very day that he lands in America. Tornadoes devastated huge sections of the nation across Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kentucky, and Tennessee. I think you all remember that very, very well. I do. We had one struck our piece of property up there. Arafat's, and if I'd known he was the cause of it, I'd have seen it getting land. Now, Bonnie woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, "Honey, I think the tornado's coming." I said, "Honey, it just went by." So I go out and look at my back door, and all I see is this enormous oak tree. What's left of it? Arafat's American tour also coincided with the storms in the Dakotas. I know y'all probably remember this, which resulted in the worst flooding of the century, in addition to weeks of major storms throughout the Midwest. He finishes his tour, leaves the U.S., and all the storms quit. As soon as he leaves, his lane. Got a few more. I won't bore you with too much of this. This is important. I think we need to realize. Benjamin Netanyahu, he's here with the president now, January 21st, 1990. He meets with President Clinton in the White House. He is very coldly received. Clinton and Secretary of State Madam Albright refused to have lunch with him. Shortly afterwards that day, guess what happens to President Clinton? Monica Lewinsky comes out of the woodwork. On that very day that he refused and treated Netanyahu so ugly, his political career came in shambles and he was almost thrown out of the White House. So much for him. September 27, 1998, Secretary of State Madam Albright. Again, same woman. She works on final details of agreement, which Israel will give up 13% of the Western Bank in Gaza. She says, you've got to give up 13% of this. The same day Hurricane Georgia slams into the Gulf Coast, 110-mile-an-hour winds, gusts up to 175. It turns around the coast. On September the 28th, Clinton meets with Arafat and Netanyahu in the White House to finalize the final land deal. Israel, giving up your land. Later, Arafat addresses the United Nations about declaring an independent Palestinian state on May of 1999. The hurricane continues to pound the Gulf Coast and causes $1 billion in damages. At the exact time that Arafat leaves the United States, the storm dissipates. Now, I could go on and on and on. This is not the only thing. I really have list after list after list of different administrations, the things that they did, and what happened when they were doing it, when they were dealing with the nation of Israel, when they were trying to heavy hand her. But I'm not going to go through the rest of it. This just gives you an example. Rob?
Can you go over again as far as Palestine, their history? They've never had a state or anything like that. It's important, I think, people know. We're given, you know, we want Israel to give Palestinians land that they have no right to.
Yeah.
Can you
give a little history? Yeah, there's no such thing as the Palestinians, okay? It was just a bunch of Arabs over there that lived in different tribes. And Israel's land, that's the only land grants they've been given anybody in the place. This Palestinian thing came in after World War I when the British were there. Then the Arabs got together and some Jews were starting to go back there. And then the Arabs that were there got together and said, well, this used to be Palestine, this is our country. There's no record of any Jews ever being here on the face of this earth. They're over there today, right now. If the Arabs can dig up anything, any artifact whatsoever that has anything to do with old ancient Israel, they destroy it. They're taking bulldozer loads of artifacts and dirt off the Temple Mount right now. They're digging in the Temple Mount. And they take it out and dump it in the Kidron Valley to destroy any records to the nation of Israel being there. They say they've always been, never been there. Just a bunch of wandering different tribes there. They don't have any land there. Only Israel does. So, if people here tell you, or the news media tells you, the Jews have taken over Palestine, listen, the Jews just went back to the land God gave them. If you remember in the book of Genesis where God told Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, He said, I will bless you, and I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. Our country had better wake up and quit cursing Israel. Our country better stand by Israel. You know, if you study prophecy, the balance of power has got to shift to Europe. I've said this for years. You that have been in my class for years know I've said this. I still say it again based on prophecy. What's going to happen in the United States? I don't see us in prophecy in any kind of detail. But I will say this, in order for prophecy to be fulfilled, this country has got to go down. How is it going to go down? I don't know. This may be the key to it right now. I will say this, if anything is going to bring the nation of the United States of America as a country down, it's going to be our treating the Jews wrongly. We will, in the book of Zechariah, I believe it's the second chapter, God talks about Israel being, it says, the apple of His eye. It's the second chapter of Zechariah. And He tells Israel through Zechariah that he studied, He said, "You are the apple of my eye." That word apple is a mistranslated Hebrew word. It means pupil. The very center pupil corner of your eye. There was an old Jewish man who was being taken to one of the concentration camps in World War II. They were rounding him up. And the German officer survived the war. He made this statement years later. He said, as this old Jew was getting into the cattle car where they were putting him to go to the concentration camps and kill him by the thousands, the old Jew turned to him and he said, "I want to warn you, you are putting your finger in the eye of God. Anybody that harms the Jews, does anything to divide up their land, had better be careful." And that speaks for nations as well. I say our country is headed on a path that will lead us to destruction, just like the rest of these nations that are laying in ruins in history today, if our government does not wake up. Now, we elect our officials. You need to know where they stand on support of Israel. Okay? It's crucial to our existence as a nation. Anybody have any questions? I couldn't let this chance go by. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our president. Benjamin Netanyahu is an incredible man. Very intelligent. He's not a Christian, but he is a brilliant man. He has been rejected by several presidents that I just read you. The first time he came over here, our president left him sitting in a room by himself and went to a dinner. And never said one word to him, just left him sitting there. Totally a slap in the face to the leader of the nation of Israel. You're talking about rude. You just don't get any ruder than that. So, we better pray for our leaders and let them know your stand on the nation of Israel. I just sent mine an email yesterday about it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this study. We broke our regular study to bring this on because I feel it's crucial to our nation, to how long we will stand if our leaders do not stand by your old ancient people and listen to the warnings that you have put in Scripture of those who treat Israel with a heavy hand, that you will do the same thing. Lord, we just thank you that we have the knowledge of the truth of your word. It seems that so many people in our own country are just totally ignorant of the things that you have written down that we should understand. We pray for them. Pray for the teachers and the preachers. Lord, the people out here who are in the pulpits, if they learn these things and teach it to the people so that we can vote on people who will stand for your old ancient people, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week and call me if you need me.